with YouTube, you have the power to create these omnipresent video assets that it's like creating one video that's positioned to spread your message around the world, around the clock, perpetually, forever. Not like where you create content for YouTube or, sorry, for Facebook or Instagram and it just drowns in the algorithm.
Hey, what's up, everyone? You're listening to the Man Reinvented Show. I'm your host, Scott Taylor. I'm a former door-to-door salesman who gave up a six-figure income that I earned in just 4 months out of the year to pursue my passion of making a bigger impact in the world. This is the podcast where I talk with amazing people making big changes to fulfill their deeper purpose. Let's get into today's episode. All right, everyone, welcome to the show, Man Reinvented. And again, today it's going to be Woman Reinvented because I've got an amazing lady with me, Marley Bird. She helps entrepreneurs, online entrepreneurs, do video. She is the queen of video marketing with YouTube and any platform dealing with video. Marley Bird, thank you so much for being on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself really quick?
Thank you for having me. And it's Marley Baird.
Marley Baird.
No worries. My name is Marley. We have a social media video marketing agency, YouTube, really specifically, because with YouTube, you have the power to create these omnipresent video assets that it's like creating one video that's positioned to spread your message around the world, around the clock, perpetually, forever. Not like where you create content for YouTube or, sorry, for Facebook or Instagram, and it just drowns in the algorithm. We use YouTube as our foundation with still the other platforms to put those videos out there to spread your message and generate leads on autopilot.
So cool. And Marley Bird actually works for people. She does agency work for Christy Code Red.
Yeah.
That amazing diet that everyone's on right now. It's kind of ketogenic diet, but she did named it her own thing. Steven Larson. I work with Steven Larson, obviously. Rachel Peterson, Alex Sharfin, the list goes on and on and on. Go to her. You can find her at vipvideocode.com. And there's also, what's the free mastermind training that you have?
Yeah, I have a free masterclass. And I was saying to you before we started this, it's like an actual training. It's not one of those webinars where they give their story and like a tiny little bit of information and then a pitch at the end. This is an actual full 40-minute training where I teach how to create 60 days of social media and video content in 8 hours.
So
that's
cool.
daysofcontent.com, 60daysofcontent.com.
Okay. Well, everyone go check it out. I was checking out a lot of your lives yesterday and wow, I was amazed with all the value that you bring your audience.
Thank you.
All the stuff you give out for free. The cool thing about what I've seen you doing is you call to action every video.
Absolutely. That's important real estate. And
exactly.
I kind of explain it like if you're going on a first date and you want a second date, don't play hard to get. Ask for it. So tell them where they can take the next step with you.
Yeah. And it's usually you're landing people with free stuff, more value. I'd love to get more into that, but why don't you, because this podcast is about like reinventing yourself, I imagine that you've been through some reinventing of yourself through your career. So kind of give us your backstory and how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I feel like if you look over your life, like how, you know, you can connect the dots backwards a lot easier than looking forward. I feel like I've reinvented myself a few times. I was actually a dental hygienist before I into the online world. And then even when I first came into the online world, I was a social media manager and I was trying to do funnels and Facebook ads just because I felt like, well, that's what all social media managers are doing. Like that's if you want to be successful, you got to do that. But I didn't actually really enjoy those things. I always loved being creative and creating content and, you know, sharing a message that makes people feel emotions and shifts their emotional beliefs, like, which really, when you can shift an emotional belief, you're able to overpower their story, which is their limiting beliefs, to your story, shows them a new opportunity. So I started creating video content for myself to get my name out there more so that I could get more clients and be more visible. And some of those videos started working really well. And so then I thought, well, how can I reverse engineer this for and do this for my clients? And how can I get more of this? So I started taking like every course I could get my hands on, started testing in the school of YouTube, just tried everything that I could find. And then started to create the same thing for my clients and was able to get amazing results. And that's how I moved from being a dental hygienist to a social media manager to a YouTube and video marketing agency.
So cool. Now, how long have you been doing the agency work that you've been doing right now?
I started in 2016. Like that's when I was still a full-time dental hygienist and then slowly tapered out and we have been doing this agency full-time for, I guess, 2 years.
So cool. And you're just exploding.
Oh, thank you.
It's so cool. So now I guess that's interesting that you were a dental hygienist and all the way up to doing what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, what are some of the, some times where you kind of hit the wall per se?
Oh yeah.
The challenging times that you've been through that, like, how did you get through them and what were they? Can you kind of go into some, into the weeds with us a little bit?
It's a funny story. So, I mean, I was a dental hygienist and I knew that I wasn't going to do that for the rest of my life, that I didn't love it. I mean, who loves cleaning teeth all day, every day?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know some hygienists that love their job. Like they're just crazy about it. And that's great. We want dental hygienists like that, but it wasn't me. So, and I always wanted freedom. Like I hated the idea of having a job where you're constantly looking at the clock and counting down how many hours you have left, or even just like needing permission to go on vacation or even to take time off for a doctor's appointment. I just hated that. So yeah. I knew that I was going to do something else, but I didn't know what that would be. But I started doing, because I was bored at the social, at the dental office, I started doing their social media for the dental office between patients just for fun. Cause I was good at creating content. And I was good at it from all of my like part-time jobs before dental. Like I was working in radio and I worked in event management and things like that, where I was doing social media and website stuff just because I was good at it. And their IT guy was like, "You're good at this. Can I refer you to one of my clients?" Well, he referred me to all of his clients. And before I knew it, I was like between patients, I would like run to the bathroom and hide and be on my phone, like keeping up with my clients' social media. So I was doing both things. And I got to this point where I was like, I have a full-time dental job. I have these social media clients where the revenue I'm making from them is more than the dental office. And I didn't want to be at the dental office, but I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, when they're stepping into being an entrepreneur, feel like 9 to 5 is safe. Like you have someone else signing your paychecks, not all the pressure is on you. So I had a really hard time convincing myself to leave. Like I would slowly like take a day here and there. So before, instead of full time, then I went to 4 days a week and then 3 days a week. And then the choice was made for me because my husband, who was my fiance at the time, we were 2 months away from our wedding, had a terrible dirt biking accident. He fell off his bike, kind of backward, landed on his butt, fractured his tailbone, had both arms in casts, just terrible road rash, like had no butt anymore. And
sounds like he did an epic wheelie.
That's exactly what it was. He was trying to show off. And so he was like just broken and he couldn't go to work. So we just lost his income. And again, remember we're 2 months away from our wedding. And so I had to call the dental office because my fiance here can't even like his arms are in casts. He can't even like reach his mouth to like feed himself or anything.
Nice.
And so I had to call the dental office and say, I can't come back to work. And I don't know when I'm coming back because my fiance needs 24/7 care.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I went all in on the business because I had to. Our wedding was 2 months away. We lost his income. I had to say goodbye to the dental office at that point. And we had, you know, our big day to pay for. We had a honeymoon coming up. And so that's when I was like, okay, we're going all in. And that's when I started making videos to get visible.
Wow. Pressure was on.
Pressure was on. It was like, I had no choice. Got to do it.
At that point, how much money were you bringing in just on the, as a side hustle?
Maybe like $5,000 to $7,000 a month.
Okay.
Which is great. Like, and it's still, I had to convince myself like, but then I'm going to lose the dental. Is that okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then within like 2-3 months, I was almost at $20,000 rents.
Wow.
Yeah. So we paid for the wedding, which is great. Went on our honeymoon. And then even took a few weeks off after that. And then he went back to work. And then I was still just full-time in the business. And I took on a few like dental, you know, covering shifts here and there to still keep my foot in the door. But then April, just after, because we got married in August, April, I was done for good.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like you found your calling in life. Is that right?
Well, it feels good. And I feel like I'm always growing and it is, I love what I do. Like it's really nice to take a step back and go, wow, so much has changed really fast. And I get up every day loving to what I do. And I get to do this. It's not, I have to go to work and I'll be back at 5. Like I love what I get to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, when you guys went on your honeymoon, did he have to go like this?
No, thankfully he was healed. So he healed.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Luckily, like he walked down the aisle in one piece, but this bugger, he got on his dirt bike like the moment he was healed and then he fractured his hand.
Oh so, no.
Yeah. I was like, please don't touch that bike until after the wedding.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised you guys kept it.
There's a posting right now to sell it. So
oh, is there really?
On the right buyer, yeah.
Okay. Hopefully it doesn't trade it in for a bullet bike, right? Or maybe it is a bullet bike.
Luckily it was his choice. So when he finally decided like, yeah, you know what? I think I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, I am totally fine with that.
Yeah. Looks like his priorities are getting straight.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're getting older. I feel young, but you know, we're getting to that place where like next step is babies potentially. And then as we have a lot of nieces and nephews around us and he's seeing like his sisters as parents, he's like, ooh, I don't know if I want to be dangerous. So anyway, that was the conversation to let go of the dirt bike. And I was glad that it wasn't like, I didn't have to be part of that decision making.
Well, good for him and good for you. Yeah. So now I'm curious, like one thing that I love about what you do is you harness YouTube, you harness search engines that are like, I've heard it put like you're building real estate.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're buying digital real estate basically is what you're doing, right?
Yeah. We call it like renting versus owning that you on Facebook. If you want your content to stay in front of people, you got to buy Facebook ads. You got to keep renting that space.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if you put in a little bit more of a time investment up front, you now own that space on YouTube, because if you do the right steps, you can now rank for those top spots that people are finding you all the time. And I have videos, my clients have videos from years ago that are still ranking in those top spots, bringing in thousands of views every single week. So even though, yes, it takes a little bit more effort of time and creativity up front, the payoff is so much more worth it instead of, oh, I have to do a Facebook Live. Oh, I got to do this. And looking at your Facebook Lives as a chore instead of, I'm going to do this because I want to, because now I have this foundation of content behind me that is working for me around the world, around the clock, that I don't have to feel obligated to keep showing up if life happens.
Yeah. I love that, because I mean, there's so many entrepreneurs out there that are starting and they use Facebook, Instagram, and they're just like constantly in there and you can tell they're figuring it all out and it's kind of rough. And I love some of your Facebook Lives earlier, by the way, where you're like, just jumping in here, guys, you know?
No, because I was making fun of that. And
I know.
I'm glad that not many people were offended.
Offended?
No, I mean, some people were like, oh, I do that. And like, yeah. Are you calling me out? And I'm like, I'm calling everyone out. Like, this is me calling you out in a way that, like, I'm trying to show you how we can improve. And if you're triggered by it, then, you know, that's your own thing. You can choose to grow if you want to or not. But what I was saying is, everyone, when they go on Facebook Live, do you ever notice they're just jumping in? They're just hopping on in. They're just coming in here real fast. And everyone starts their Facebook Lives that way or their Instagram stories. And a lot of us do it because that's what we see everyone else doing, but it's not necessary. And when the front load of your video is your most valuable real estate to capture attention, you're wasting time. Like it's kind of sad to me when I go through Instagram stories and all of them start with, okay, so, all right, hey guys, just coming in here real fast. Like if you have your Instagram stories or 15 second little chunks, the first 15 seconds was, hey guys, just coming in here real fast. Just wanted to tell you about, and then I've already skipped on to the next one and I don't know what you were going to tell me. And maybe it was really good.
Yeah. And I've noticed that you've adapted because I've watched some afterwards and you're just like right into it.
Let's go. No time to waste.
A hook story and an offer, and you're mastering that. I can tell. So
it just takes being aware of it, because I noticed what other people were doing and I was like, oh, why are they doing that? I don't think I want to do that. And it's just about being aware. If you want to do it, by all means, like if it works for you, great. Like I can't say that it's a one size fits all and everyone has to do this. There are reasons why people put typos on purpose in their headlines, because it captures attention and gets engagement. Like it works for some people. Do it, try it, test it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you pointed that out, because I mean, in relation to like doing like YouTube versus Facebook, when people are only relying on Facebook, there is that like Hail Mary type thing. Am I going to really like get some traction in this? And when you're completely depending on that and your efforts are fading away over time, it's like, it's kind of discouraging, I think, for people that are just starting out. And so your whole concept of buying that digital real estate, setting up your YouTube channel in the right way, these videos grow like a snowball, and it's such a cool concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so why I've chosen to do a podcast as well as start doing a YouTube channel, you know?
Yeah, that's perfect. And it's like buying real estate, exactly as you said it. It lasts longer and it gives you that like compounding returns.
Uh-huh. Now I'm curious, you teach people in your masterclass how to get together 6 months worth of content, how to map it out.
60 days of content in 8 hours. But what we do for clients is we create 6 months of content in 3 days.
Wow. That is so cool. And for me, it's just daunting to even put together like a script for one video. How do you guys do it? Like, is there a templates that you follow or?
Yeah, we created the process over time, because like I said, when I was first starting to make videos to get more visible, it would take me an entire day to make one video. I would wake up in the morning and I'd be like, okay, what kind of video am I going to make today? And then I would come up with the idea. Then I would write a script, and what, it doesn't have to be word for word, but like at least bullet pointing. And then I would film it, but I wouldn't film with a process in mind. So I would just like ramble forever. And then editing, because you didn't have a format when you were filming, the editing takes forever. And then uploading to YouTube, again, like at the time, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. Some of them got lucky and I got some good videos that still ranked. But yeah, it took a really long time. So now we follow a process where we batch a lot of that stuff and do the research beforehand, before we even hit record on the camera, so that you know if these videos are actually going to make an impact and be found in search results and lead to whatever you're doing in your marketing strategy to generate leads.
Okay. So can you give me like three little things that I could do?
Yeah.
Just implement like immediately and do something like that myself?
Yeah. So when we work with clients, like one of the first things that we look at, even before looking at the content, which might, like some people are like, wait, why are we talking about this? I want to make videos. I'm like, no, we need to look at your value ladder. Like, what are you actually selling? And this is, and I made this mistake too, is when I was first starting in my business, I started from the bottom. Like, so when we look at a value ladder, and it's, you have your entry points for how people can first find you and start working with you at like the lowest cost, and then all the way up to the highest point of the value ladder, which is your high ticket offer, where people have more access to you and pay you the most. So a lot of people, when we start, we think, well, we have to start from the ground floor, so I'm going to create the entry levels. But then it gives you less resources as you're building your business, because people aren't paying you as much. Mm-hmm. So when we work with clients, we're like, what's your core offer? What's your high ticket? And then what are your entry points? And your videos are going to be your entry points, but then nurture to sell your core offers and then nurture more to your high ticket. So while we look at the client's visibility ladder, we're then also creating, or sorry, the value ladder, we're creating the visibility ladder. So imagine every step of the value ladder, then we're creating content that integrates with all of those pieces, with like your daily, your how-to content for your cold audience, then also your hub content for like a warm audience who is more, they want to see more of the behind the scenes, and then that hot traffic that we want to get people to, then going into that offer where we do like video sales letters and things that have more of a pitch at the end.
Mm-hmm. And so the YouTube stuff that you're telling your clients to do is for the entry-level stuff. That's the free stuff out on your YouTube channel, correct?
Yeah, because we want to bring in cold traffic. However, it's still good content for a warm audience because we're also inserting, like we said, hook, story, offer. The mm-hmm. hook is the content that any kind of cold or warm audience would want. But then we're warming them up in the videos. It's like these videos are a traffic source and a funnel at the same time, because people are coming into the video because they're Googling or searching in search results to find it. And then in the content, we're warming them up and driving them to the next thing. We're also like killing those objections in the scripts before mm-hmm. they even have them and feel like, no, I'm not going to click on that.
Okay. Now, as far as using YouTube videos to ascend people to the highest ticket items, are you guys doing that as well?
Not so much. Like, we don't, like, write from a YouTube video, be like, click here and get sign up for my $25,000 program. We have to imagine that everyone watching this is someone that's cold or being warmed up. And then that's where videos are still warming. Like, if you have a warm audience that's watching your videos, the more value you give, you're still warming them up to them to get hot. And we can actually see in YouTube analytics, like, what's the average amount that people are actually watching? Are they just watching one video and leaving? Or are they binge watching multiple of your videos? And then you can do things like retargeting. And if you wanted to do, you know, paid advertising, that now that you have them, you've pixeled them, you can remarket to them. But then also you're giving them the offers, like click link below for this free thing. And then so for me, if I was saying like, come to this video training or download this free checklist or something like that. And then what I also like to do is have a tripwire right after, which is like a low cost, just self liquidating offer. If you're running Facebook ads to it, or you're making money organically from YouTube, that they maybe give you $7 for an ebook or $19 for some sort of training, and something like this is a low cost. And because second money is easier than first money, then when we're nurturing them in the email sequence, that's where we can start to qualify them for, are they a good fit for our coaching program or for our done for you services. And as we see the behavior that they're taking in their email marketing, like, did they click on that link? Did they sign up for this thing? Did they book a call? The more that we put these opportunities in front of them and we're able to nurture them and qualify them towards the sale. But we're using push pull language because we want to push away people that we don't want to work with, that aren't a good fit for us, which as an entrepreneur, when you're first starting, typically you want to say yes to everything because we just want all the opportunities. And it sounds counterintuitive, but the more you say no, the more you're niching yourself into a specialty where you can give more and get paid more for that expertise. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an example of push-pull language?
For example, in some of my Facebook Lives, I directly call out, like, are you an agency owner? Are you a service provider? And if you're not, you're like, oh, this isn't for me. Maybe I'll still listen if I can get some value. But the thing that I'm qualifying you for is for this. Or something that we put in a lot of our videos is, like, maybe for Christy Code Red, one of her videos, she might say, like, if you're someone that you want to keep eating sugar and you don't want anything to change, then I can't help you.
Yeah.
So that's exactly
the total takeaway.
Don't click this link if you aren't willing to make the change and shift to the mindset that is going to give you the results. If you want the results you say you want to have, and if you're this kind of person, then click that link. But if you want to stay where you are and you want to keep couch surfing and you want to keep stuffing your face with sugar, then I can't help you. And it also, when you say it in that way, you're not being mean, but it's just like, you decide, like, do you actually want to make the change you want? If so, then let's talk. But if not, let's not waste either of our time.
Okay. So, and this is language you start your video out with, correct?
Maybe not like right from the beginning. We do have it in some intros where the intro and the way that we like to write our copy is in a way that we're not like, you know, when you're a kid and your mom's like, don't touch the stove, it's hot. You got to like just tap it a little bit just to see. You got to learn the hard way. Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
We don't want to tell our audience what to do because then same thing, like when mom would tell us and nag us not to do something, they're like, yeah, whatever. So instead of dragging them kicking and screaming to the water, forcing them to drink, we're showing them the path and awakening their thirst. So using things like thought reversal and sleight of mouth where we're just like, it's really painting a cinematic visual And then in that language can say, like, if you're someone that you want to stay the same, that you say you want to be healthy, but you're not actually willing to make that change, then I can't help you. And this video isn't for you. But if you are here because you want to make a change, then keep watching. And so, yeah, you can't keep them all the way. So we've put that in the intro and the outro to really qualify people to either keep watching or at the outro to if clicking the link is a good idea for you or not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Man, I got a long ways to go, Marley. Well, that's cool. So now tell me about your favorite platforms. I know YouTube is one of them. Yeah. But what are some other favorite platforms that you love and how you use them?
Yeah, I love Instagram. I always say that like Instagram stories are my playground. I just have so much fun just being myself. And I try to be a little bit of a stand-up comedian on my Instagram stories. So I try to make people laugh and I have fun with that. So I really love
like your reality TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's fun. And when you have people that are also interacting with you back with your stories, and I think it's nice because Instagram stories, they're like limited time. You only have 24 hours to watch this. So I think that makes people be more engaged to watch it because they're like, oh, if I miss it, I miss what happened in their lives. And it keeps us engaged with the people that we want to follow.
Uh-huh. Okay. So YouTube, Instagram, how are you using Facebook? I know I've seen you on there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a Facebook group and we have fun in there. And I have like a business page and my personal page and I do Facebook lives and I enjoy it. And I like watching other people's content in there, but where I think I have the most fun is YouTube and Instagram.
Okay. All right. No LinkedIn.
I do have LinkedIn and I post some articles on there and I post some of my, we do post our videos on there and it gets more of like a B2B audience. But I think the people that I enjoy working with the most come to me from Instagram and YouTube.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I noticed, I watched your video about your lawn getting done or your yard getting done.
Yeah.
How did your mom like it? How did your mom like it?
She didn't comment at all.
Oh, she didn't?
No, I was like, okay, I'm gonna hire this gardener. They're gonna do an amazing job. And when my mom comes over, she's gonna be like, wow, this was great. And she can't, she just walks up to the door and I open the door and I'm like, look at everything. And she was just like, what? And I was like, what do you think of my lawn? And she's like, looks nice. And
oh man.
I had expectations. That was my
I could tell. So yeah,
but maybe, I was also very happy with the work that was done. So
Maybe it just looked too much like it always did, and you know.
No, it was a forest before. It was terrible. So well, that's I mean,
you said your mom grew up in that house, right?
Well,
or grandma's house or something.
She didn't grow up in the house. Like she grew up on a farm, but then my grandparents, when they moved to the city from the farm, was their house. So my mom was an adult by then, but like I've known this house my whole life, so it's special to be in this house. And yeah, I thought she was going to have a nicer reaction to my garden.
Well, sorry about that. Well, the reason I brought it up is I loved your takeaway from that live is that you hire people out. And so I'm curious, like, what's your superpower? What are you doing? What is your focus, 10%? And what is the 90% that you hire out?
I love that question. And I think it evolves over time that I'm always wanting to grow and learn. And something that was hard for me to realize is that my job as a CEO is to grow and learn and speak and teach and lead. That it isn't my job, or it might not be my job. I'm saying for this might not be the same case for everyone else, but it isn't my job to edit the videos and to write the copy and to check my own email. I mean, I can do those things and anyone else in a CEO position can choose to do those things too. But I have found that for my growth in my business, I have to be able to delegate the things that aren't strategic and aren't moving the business forward. So I had a really hard time letting go of checking my email. I had a hard time letting go of editing videos because I thought that I was a snowflake unicorn and no one could do it the way that I did it. And that it was this intuitive thing that I couldn't teach. And then Alex Sharfin, my friend and client and mentor, said, Marley, you're not that special. And it was a hit to the gut for a moment, to the ego. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'll listen to a guy who is like, teaches the billionaire code. He obviously knows his stuff. And so Alex was a huge help and I love him forever. I'm going to probably name my firstborn child after him. That's terrible. I really respect him. He has helped me so much in just growing as a person and growing as a leader and realizing like, what do I actually need to do in my life and my business to just be happy with what I'm doing? Cause really, am I happy editing videos? Videos are time consuming. So the practice that Alex taught me was to do a time study where you write down absolutely everything you do in a day and go back and audit that. Is that strategic? Is it tactical? Is it self-care? Is it family time? And where do you actually want to divide your time?
Mm-hmm. And if you want to grow and scale, you need to be spending, what is it, 60% of your time in strategic?
I think so. I mean,
something like that.
That makes sense.
So you don't even check your emails anymore?
I have a hard time letting go. I still have access to it. Uh-huh. I try not to spend too much time in there because that can be a rabbit hole. Like when I know here's my top three things that I'm supposed to do today, that's going to move the business forward, and you get an email notification and it's like, oh, can you just do that? Oh yeah, I'll just do that. It's really fast. And then it's half an hour or 45 minutes away from the top three things that would actually move the business forward.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So do you have a VA that like basically sifts through all your emails and brings the most important stuff to you?
Yeah, I have an assistant, and she's here like close to me. So I'm able to work with her more closely, and she helps me with a lot of other things, even some client management stuff, so that instead of me writing all of the reports and things, like she's able to gather the numbers. I can look at it, add my touch and go, perfect, let's send that off, so that I can spend more time in the things that are actually like putting the business in a position that we're more visible. Cause there's no one else that can film my YouTube videos than me. I have to be the face in my videos. My husband can't put on a mask and go, hey, it's Marley, blah, blah, blah. So what are the things that only I can do that I have to do, and do those?
Yep. Love it. That's so cool. I mean, there's a lot of people that are starting out though. And when you're in that phase of like, oh, can I survive? Can I survive? You tend to just hold on to everything and it really holds you back. And so what advice would you give someone in that situation?
Hire Alex Sharfin. But also, I mean, and this is something that I've talked about with Alex, that when you first start as an entrepreneur, you are doing everything. You are the chief everything officer. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do. If you want to bootstrap to the point where you have the resources to be able to hire help. But then when you have those resources, it's about being strategic with who do you need to hire to save you the most time. I didn't have an executive assistant for a long time. And then Alex was like, you need one. And I was like, no, I can do everything myself. I'm independent. I don't need someone to manage my calendar for me. Mm-hmm. It helps. It really helps. And having someone to review my emails and having someone to field calls and sales calls, that was a tough one for me to get out of too. But now like I have amazing people that do a better job than I don't have to be the one editing my videos. I have editors who are much more talented than me, and copywriters who can put together words and just so eloquently much better than me. And so when you are able to have the resources to hire help, ask yourself what tasks are you spending too much time in that you can find someone who is even better than you are at those tasks that then can move you into a position where you're able to do more. And I actually had a period where I felt guilty that I was like, what am I even doing? Like, I've hired all these people to do my work and now I have nothing to do, which is not true. I did. I mean, you always have something to do, but if I felt like I wasn't working hard because the work wasn't hard. It didn't feel difficult. It was stuff that I enjoyed. So I felt guilty that I was loving what I was doing. But then that's where I needed a mindset shift to go, wait, like I'm supposed to love what I'm doing. And the more I love it, the better I can be at it. So that was a really interesting shift as well.
Uh-huh. What a cool place to get though.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I've seen Steve do this. I've seen Josh Forty do this. And now I'm hearing that you're doing it. It's like Steve doesn't even build his funnels anymore.
Right.
He has a team that does it.
Yep.
He's a funnel builder. Like he's a funnel king, right?
Yeah.
And like Josh 40, like in, you know, Instagram, social media type stuff. That's his thing. Yeah. All he does is get on the phone now and closes business.
Deals. Yeah. That's what makes the money.
Yeah.
If I had to go in and manually post my content by myself, that is time that I could have been on a call or time that I could have been making a video that is going to be an evergreen sales machine for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you doing the one shot and then repurposing like crazy? Or are you doing a couple different things like a podcast and videos? Or are you just basically turning your videos into everything?
The video is repurposed for Facebook and Instagram and really anywhere else that you want to post it. So we post it to Facebook, Instagram, a little bit of Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. For podcasts, that's going to be different. I haven't launched my podcast yet. It's been something that's like on the to-do list. And we're like, yeah, next quarter.
Yeah.
Just other things have been priority so far. But I feel like for me, I would probably, because I know for YouTube, like the way that I need to present to YouTube needs to be a little bit more polished and produced. Mm-hmm. That it might not translate as well to a podcast. However, I could film me doing the podcast and put that on YouTube. So I will do that when the time comes, but not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I know that's what Steve's doing in a large degree for his podcast. And
that's the content that we work with for him.
Yep. Yep.
I take the videos and we repurpose them and then put them on YouTube.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and me and my little sloppy way of doing it, I just started. And I do a Zoom and it's all a podcast and then eventually I get it on YouTube. So, yeah. But I'm doing it all myself right now. So.
Well, that's good.
Yep. And I'm not really editing much.
That's all right. Then it's natural. And people like that.
I just kind of throw it out there. And I think people like that. So, but obviously as you get more sophisticated and you have a bigger brand, then there's that expectation of having higher quality stuff. And, you know, that comes with time.
Yeah, totally. So, and like you can go back to the beginning of my YouTube channel and see where we started from. And it's kind of funny. Like you see that it was lower quality. I was filming from my iPhone and I didn't have lighting. I would use like a lamp with no lampshade. And I edited on iMovie, which is totally fine. Like I still would edit things on iMovie if I was editing myself, if I needed just a quick edit. And it's just starting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I think we probably getting kind of long here, but just to kind of wrap things up, what are three things, I guess, that you would advise someone to do knowing nothing about doing video marketing that they could implement today and start working, basically take action and go do it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how with funnel builders, we funnel hack. We look at what other people are doing and we see what's successful. Do that.
Look
at the people you like to watch and ask yourself why you enjoy them. And it doesn't even have to be people online. It doesn't have to be YouTube videos. Look at commercials on TV and ask yourself why that diaper commercial made you cry. Like what is it about that content that made you feel something? And how can you execute that in your content? And it doesn't have to be making people cry. Maybe you make people laugh. Maybe you give them an idea that they didn't think of before. Like perhaps do you start your videos by saying, hey guys, just came in here real fast.
Yeah.
That was an example.
Just popping in guys.
Popping in here real quick, guys. So look at what you enjoy watching and in any medium. It can be movies, it could be TV, it could be commercials, it can be YouTube, Facebook Lives. See what other people are doing and also do the opposite. Try testing things out that maybe seem or feel weird, but the only way you're going to know is by testing and seeing what your audience responds to. And just do it. Like turn on the camera, start talking. If you need to feel, like if you need some training wheels, then maybe start a Facebook group with a few of your closest friends and do some Facebook Lives in a safe environment wherever you feel comfortable to start. But set a goal for yourself of when you're actually going to start. Because how many times did you wish that you would have started a YouTube channel months or years ago? I wish I did. I had my first idea to start a YouTube channel in 2009. And
wow.
Gosh, I did. Because I waited until 2016. And where would I be today if I had followed the advice of a friend who said, because I was actually making vlogs before vlogging was a thing. Like I would bring my camera on the weekend with my friends and I would film the whole thing. And I would put together this like trailer video of everything that we got up to on that weekend. And it was just for my enjoyment. But how cool would that have been if I would have actually turned it into a storyline and documented my journey? Like how cool would that be if people could watch back from when I used to be a dental hygienist to now having this business? I wish I had that, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice. Because you know, guys, when whoever's listening out there, when people just start documenting it right away, when you're, even when you don't know what you're doing, then your audience can identify with you because a lot of them are where you were. And so it helps your audience identify better.
Yeah. Yeah. You become the after picture to their before picture and they go, I want to be where you are. And my before picture is where they are. And you get to see how I actually did it and follow me on the journey. And when people follow you from the beginning and they get to see how you struggled or the challenges you went through, they're going to cheer louder when you make it.
Yep. Absolutely. Have a deeper connection with your audience. So, well, Marley, this has been an awesome getting you on here. So cool. I just did a little quick Facebook message. Is it a voice message I sent you on Facebook or I sent you Instagram too?
Both. Yeah. Both platforms. So,
I mean, obviously know Steve and I've had Josh on, but that's what you do. Like I got Marley on, I got Marley Baird on my show. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
So, well, thank you so much for being on. I love what you're doing and you're really inspiring a lot of entrepreneurs out there to take things to the next level. And I really appreciate what you're doing. So
thank you so much.
All right. Well, we're just going to end here. And everyone, if you're watching the show and you like the guests that I'm having on here, you like the conversations that we're having, go subscribe, go give me some feedback. Maybe pop in a suggestion of who you'd like to hear on the show. But you know, and if you know someone in a situation that's stuck in a career they hate and they want to make a change and they want to do something online, send them on over, share this message around. Really appreciate it. So with that, I'm going to end here. And Marley, thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm just